Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Championship Series, Brad and Body Podcast. We know that we are 1-0, the Sydney Kings, or should we say 1-1 for the Adelaide 36ers, the way they played. Botond, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well, and I'm extremely impressed with the Kings. I think we both would have picked them for game one, but I
not like that.
No, 15 points I would have thought, maybe 15, but 44, a record winning margin in the grand final, a long way back from Adelaide. But let's get to our guest, because
yes,
he's from New South Wales, as are you, which for the benefit of the listeners, I'm just going to sit back for a few minutes and let the two New South Welshmen talk about rugby league or whatever else they're going to talk about.
Hang on, mate, let me just put my purple shirt on. I'll be back in a second. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It is awesome to have everyone online. And today, well, we have a special one. We've only got really one game to talk about in the NBL because we're talking about the Championship Series. So we thought it's time to go back to where are they now? So today, I'm going to talk to someone who's born in Mount Warrigal in New South Wales. He represented Australia at the Under-19s World Championship in Greece in 2015, debuted for the Boomers during the FIBA Asia Cup in 21, started as a development player for the good old Mighty Hawks in 2017, moved to the dark side, the Sydney Kings, in 2020, but he won two championships in the Kings in 22 and 23. He's played 198 games in the NBL. I'm giving this one away. He's just been awarded, and should I say, very deservedly, the best sixth man of the year. Got married in April last year, mind you, and without a doubt best known for his championship series heroics in the game five of the 23 series, if I'm not mistaken, damaged a cartilage to his ribs and sternum, carried the Kings basically on his back and got him over the line to the championship. I'm of course talking about Angus Glover. Glove, thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me. Those words were too kind.
Yeah, they were good. So let's take it back a little bit. What actually got you into basketball? I know you do a lot of, you know, interviews, but we're slightly different the way Body and I like to do it, and we just want to go back. How did it all start?
Yeah, being an only child, first and foremost, I think basketball wasn't forced on me as a kid, but mum and dad always grew up, they grew up in basketball families as well. So mum got to play for the Illawarra Kitty Hawks and the Sydney Comets as well.
That's bringing back memories. I'm a Comets boy, love it, keep going. Yeah.
And then yeah, dad just played like junior basketball for Illawarra. He was a bit of a dual sportsman, loved his golf as well, still plays golf now, but so always grew up in basketball, but never really I grew up in basketball around it as well. Obviously growing up in Wollongong, having the Illawarra Hawks there, it was the only team really to support in any sport, really. I wasn't really a massive rugby league fan. That was kind of where everything went. But mum and dad didn't force it upon me or anything like that. I just fell in love with it at an early age, like had some toys and whatnot. And I was always gravitating towards the basketball toys more than any other toys. So, it was awesome to be a part of and to grow up around basketball. I just loved it. And yeah, obviously, however many years later now, it's served me well.
So lefties are renowned to be damn good shooters. And of course, you are one. Was anyone in your family a lefty, or was it just you?
As far as I'm aware, sorry about my dog barking on that one.
No, that's all right. I'm going to answer. Yep, go on.
He's trying to answer for me. No, I think it's for me, I tried to shoot right-handed, I believe, as a kid, and it didn't look natural according to my mum, so we kind of changed it to my left and just looked and felt way more natural.
Wow.
So but no, none of, as far as I'm aware, none of my parents or anyone in my distant family is left-handed. I'm the only left-handed shooter.
Unbelievable.
But it's weird, anyone that watches me play knows I like using my right hand for pretty much everything else.
Yeah, you can see that. You'll go right, you'll finish right, but, you know, like, I don't know what you shoot right-handed, but I'm guessing it's nowhere near as bloody good as the left. But you probably can.
But you know how guys joke around it, like a shoot-around or something?
Yeah.
You practice other things, and my right-hand shot isn't bad, but it's nowhere near as good.
mate, I could kick better than I shoot in my left hand. Like, my left is just shocking. But it was good. I hear you, like, when you're dribbling, I was stronger going left because my coach was always, like, always push your, you know, your defenders left. So at training, we always got pushed left if you're right, yeah. Right? You know, back nowadays, it's different. You force one way or no middle or center or whatever. But back then, it was just no matter what you do, you push to the opposite hand. So, I want to talk to you when you started to make like the Illawarra team. I think it was 2017, and then of course I don't want to go too much because I'm sure it brings up some stuff. But your injuries, like if we don't bring that up, it'd be crazy because I don't know if there's a guy better in the sport of the NBL that has gone through what you did. And yes, they might have come out the other side, but not just come out the other side. Like you're a boomer, you're a best six man, you've won championships. Like it's like you never got injured. The mindset you must have gone through. Just talk to me a little bit about that.
It's a lot of ups and downs, more downs than ups, but now going through what I've gone through, there's a lot more ups now since overcoming those injuries. But little milestones along the way made it a bit easier to go through that process. And obviously there was a period of time during my second and third knee, because obviously I did that one during rehab and basically didn't play basketball for 2 and a bit years, which is a long time. I kind of almost gave up the sport to go back to AFL. I played footy as a kid as well, and I loved it. And, that was when I was in a bad mental state, really. I didn't want to have surgery on the third one. I was like just completely over it. And obviously very grateful I did, because now it's been a good time since.
It seemed to work out okay.
That's for sure. But obviously different parts throughout the journey of those injuries have been harder than others. You look at coming back from my first knee and getting to play or getting picked in the Nike Hoop Summit team with who was in that team was like Shea Gildas Alexander.
Wow.
RJ Barrett, like guys like that. That kind of I guess being involved in that environment and stuff, kind of I realized if I keep putting the work in, where it could have potentially gone to, who knows, obviously. But that was a really dark time, being on the other side of the world without mum was still in Australia. Dad was on a flight to actually come visit me and watch the game, so he had no idea. So that was pretty tough. Obviously mum wanted to get on the next flight, but there was no real point. So by the time Dad landed, he thought obviously I was fine and whatnot, and told him. And that was a hard time for sure. But then obviously slipping on water on that second knee to kickstart my third ACL recovery was pretty hard as well. Knowing you've come so close to returning to play and just slipping on water, no one's fault, just it happens, and it went. And another dark time. And like I said, plenty of dark times throughout rehab where I couldn't touch a ball, wasn't allowed to touch a ball. On that third one, we were quite cautious, I guess. Like normally you can start touching a ball doing like seated form shooting and whatnot quite early, but the physios, which credit to them at Baymed and in Wollongong, they were very good and got me back on, and obviously haven't had an injury, touch wood, since with that stuff. But they were very methodical in everything they did. And I didn't touch a ball for 6 months, which drove me insane, but it was the right thing to do in hindsight.
Look, as someone who is very, very close to my family, we're all very tight. It very much seems like that for you. And I'm assuming, you know, just hearing the way you're talking about your mum and dad, you don't get through those times without them. And I'm sure partners involved and things like that. Is that where it came from?
Yeah, for sure. Mum, dad, my now wife, Kira.
Congratulations, by the way. That was you're coming up to a year, aren't you? That's right. Awesome.
That was awesome. I think as well, Kira was playing in Melbourne at the time throughout a lot of my knee injuries. So that was tough on her as much as it was tough on me as well. Kids not being around, but mum and dad were massive. And obviously everyone kind of knows the story now with my third knee, the fact that my dad's hamstring is a part of me as my new ACL. He obviously, me and him hold a little bit of a special bond, and he kind of jokes that half the stats and half the championships and half all the awards or whatever it is, is his.
Wow, that's a great story. Yeah. I remember when, like, my dad was, my whole family was huge for me, but when my dad, when I was lucky enough to be an assistant, I won two championships, and my first ring I gave to my dad, right? And it was just to sort of say thanks, because I love that. So I know what it means to have family in your corner. Now, of course, everyone that's listening, Kira, well, you know, if you ask her, she's definitely the better basketballer in the family. There's no question about that. Obviously had a huge WNBL career and international career. How did you guys meet?
We met at the AIS. Like,
Everyone else does. Yep.
Like, Bowling's met there. I can name a couple others, but yeah, it's kind of it was just pretty cool how we met. Like, I was there just focusing on basketball. She was just there focusing on basketball, and she was very, very good in the schoolroom as well. That kind of, we weren't really.
I just picked up there. You didn't say, and I was very good in the school. You and me both, brother. I hear ya.
Let's put it like this. I'm a classic, like, male athlete that didn't care.
Yep, the best I'm with way you. Of putting it. Then we're in mirror.
Any kid listening, do your schoolwork. We just kind of were focused on our journeys, and then I guess one thing led to another, and we got talking a little bit, and that's how we met. And I must have done something right, because she said yes to marrying me, and 10 years later, it's been a great journey with her, and that's how we met.
Angus, I'm going to ask you about what I would think would be a very, very tough decision. I know growing up, the Sydney Kings, or even if I was the Comets playing Illawarra, was the grudge match of the year, no matter what happened. Now, you and I had a lot of players that I played with that played for Illawarra, as in Greg Hubbard, Justin Withers, and Melvin Thomas came up and things like that. Even Alan Black, the coach, got stolen at one time, and no one likes that. How hard was that decision to go from Illawarra to Sydney for you?
Pretty tough. I remember getting in my fair share of push and shoves whilst I was playing for Illawarra against Sydney in that last year in Illawarra. I remember that. But I think I remember growing up, and like, Sav's pretty much my all time favorite player in the NBL. And I remember I hated him for a year when he left to go up to Sydney. But yeah, it was kind of one of those things where Kiz and I wanted to kind of be together as well, my wife. And Sydney offered Kira, and I just finished playing with the Boomers with Will Weaver, which I can't speak highly enough of. So great to see him back in the league, by the way. But it's just something that I really wanted to, I guess, go explore and see how good I could get under Will. Just my confidence levels went through the roof during that training camp with Will at the Boomers camp, and then I played quite well in those two games. And I just thought it was the best decision for me at the time, and it turned out not too bad, winning a couple of championships there. But it was something that was definitely tough, and Mum wasn't too fond of it at the time, and she came around quite quick and ended up loving the decision. But it was definitely tough. But part of it was obviously too, me and Kira not living with each other for the past couple of years, with kids playing in Melbourne and me in Illawarra. It was something that we thought was a good idea to link up in Sydney together, and loved it.
So the rumor that I heard that you you sought advice on where to continue your career from Xavier Cooks, that isn't true.
I mean, he definitely picked up the phone a fair few times and would try and get me up there. But no, honestly, I always wanted to play with Zave on a pro level as well. We always played junior school basketball together, but never played representative junior basketball together, so never really got to experience each other properly, I guess. I was already kind of persuaded by the time he picked up the phone to contact me, but that was a pretty cool experience to put on like a professional jersey with Zave as well.
Now, I don't know if you've gone into this sensitive area, but this is maybe a sensitive area. The rumour that we heard, or the stories that we heard when you left the Sydney Kings to join South East Melbourne, was that you were just a bit unhappy with the club, that there had been an incident involving Jalen Adams where you had really sort of spoken out and said, hey, you know, you're not putting the team first, that sort of thing, because he was having a bit of a, let's say, selfish year, and that there was blowback on you for doing that. Is that, have I got that wrong?
I mean, that was what was reported, but yeah, I didn't say anything. So yeah, like I nothing. I've got nothing wrong with the club at all, and I've got nothing wrong with Mood at all. Which obviously he was the coach at the time, and the way I view it too is it's one person's opinion. Like if you play or not, or you're playing 20 minutes, 0 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. Jalen and I have a good relationship, and still to this day do. Like I have nothing towards him or the club or Mood. But yeah, I just felt like I wanted a fresh start more than anything. Left a bit of a sour taste in my mouth, and I wanted to kind of also explore what else is out there for me and try and have another challenge. And I think it's been good so far.
Yeah, look, it's definitely worked. Like as someone, you know, obviously I was in the commentary, but also as an ex-player, yeah, makes no sense with what you did for that club, how you played. And it's not... It's not even a fact that you should be rewarded for what you've done. You're just a flat-out baller. I just sit there and I just couldn't believe what was going on. And as an unfortunate thing, the best thing you could do was leave that club. But as a club man of a Sydney Kings, I hated that. I still to this day can't believe that that has happened, and it's such a shame. But we're talking to you. Why Southeast? Was it Melbourne you wanted to be down there? I'm sure there was a lot of offers. So why Southeast?
Yeah, leading into that time where I asked for the release and had some offers and whatnot, I think, one, being in Melbourne, I really enjoyed my time in NBL 1 South down here in the off-season, made a lot of friends, close friends. A couple of the friends I met ended up being being a part of my groomsmen for my wedding. So, yeah, that was cool. But yeah, I think the vision I got from, at the time, Mike Kelly, Simon Mitchell, I saw it as a change. Obviously, Sobes and I played together briefly in the Boomers together just before COVID hit. And so we spoke and, yeah, we just wanted to change the club around a little bit. And obviously, it didn't start too well, granted. But yeah, I think now the club's been spoken about a lot more. Obviously we're still not quite there yet, bowing out in game 3 of the semi-finals, but we're starting to be very well.
2 years in a row, mind you. That's pretty impressive.
2 years in a row, for sure. But the thing is, I think everyone knows how hard it is to get to just the semi-final series as well. Yes, it's a 10-team comp, but it is incredibly tough. But I think we're very well respected around the league now, which I don't think could have been said before. So that's definitely a tick. But now the next part is trying to get a championship for this club. And that's something that I really want to be a part of and try and win a first championship for the club. But also I think a lot of people, I guess, when I was at Sydney, as in whether it was fans, definitely not the club. The club had my back 110%. But I always wanted to put the green and gold on at a proper World Cup or an Olympics, and that's still the goal, right? I think, granted, I've played my best basketball since joining the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, but if I can just get to a camp for a World Cup or Olympics, we all know that if you perform at that camp, anything's possible. So, very happy with the decision to move here, though, because I've had new challenges, and I feel like my game's risen, and I feel like I've still got a lot more to go.
I got a two-part question for you about the Phoenix. Your first impression, your initial impression of Josh King when he rolls in and there's this sort of like madman on the sidelines, as opposed to your impression of him now. So like one and two.
My first impression, I hope he doesn't think of me any differently, but I thought he was nuts. I ain't going to lie. I thought he was nuts. Just seeing how many coffees he would drink the first hour he rocked in, he's just knocking coffees down the whole time. And I'm just like, God. But even I think like we play a very unique style of defense compared to the rest of the NBL. Yes, it's 94 feet. But in terms of if you look at our positioning in the half court, it's actually very unique compared to the rest of the NBL. So, back then I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work or whatever it is. And you kind of overthink it a little bit, even though it did work and we're winning games, you still kind of are like, is this going to work in the long run? Now obviously, like, I think he's a genius. He gets the most out of his players. I still think he's nuts when it comes to how much coffees he drinks. And he loves going on some fasts throughout the season, which I don't know how he does it, to be honest. But
is that one of those 5 2-days, one of those things? Is that what he does?
Yeah, that's what he does.
I don't know how people do that. Yeah.
I can't go 2 hours without eating, so I don't know how he can go like 5 days. But, I mean, 40's done for my career. Obviously, everyone keeps saying how old Sobes is and whatnot. He's got the best out of Sobes.
Yeah,
totally.
Everyone
totally
can say that. He's got the best out of Owen Foxwell. He's got the best out of Geordie Hunter. Malik Lewis, I can keep going down the line, but sure. I generally think he's a player's coach and he's so easy to play for.
Well, let me go on with that.
Drinking, that explains a lot.
Yeah, exactly. That does explain a lot. I mean, you know what's funny? It's funny. We've got headphones on in commentary and he turns around, he starts talking to us. Like, I can't hear a thing he's saying, mate. It's in there, but I actually take the headphones off because I want to listen and he's just awesome. But I just want to go and. Was there even a shadow of doubt in your mind that you wanted to be anywhere else? You've just re-signed, I think, 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, so congratulations on that and thoroughly deserved. Was there any thought, do we want to go anywhere? Are we looking at this or it's just so happy where you are?
No, I was very happy with where I was. Like I said, playing the best basketball I have in my NBL career and they understand what my goals are. With the international team and stuff like that. And we have very similar goals with the NBL in terms of winning championships and continuing to get better. I'm not satisfied. They're not satisfied. I just see myself continuing to thrive here. So it was a very easy decision for me. Just obviously, like I said, when you're performing really well on the basketball court, you tend to be really enjoying your time off it.
Totally.
If you enjoy your time off it, you tend to help on the floor. So it comes hand in hand and, I just love my time down here.
Great.
This question's a bit out of left field, I guess, but I love your shooting action. It's a beautiful shooting action. Every time you get into it smoothly, you know it's down. Every now and then, when you're moving off, it's not quite as good. But when you catch it on the and you, it's a beautiful smooth action. My question is, who taught you that?
My mum's going to say it was my mum, but it wasn't my mum. she definitely helped me change my. I was just saying earlier, like. I used to shoot right-handed when I was really young, when I first picked up a ball, but it just didn't look natural. So mum changed it to a left hand and that felt more natural. So no, I think I always loved shooting. I was very fortunate where we lived in, well, everything's within a 2 to 5 minute drive in Wollongong. So mum had a key to the St. Pitt. She literally worked there one night a week just so she could have a key so I could come in before school, after school. Like she was
great
the best.
Story. That's
she would rebound for me. But I'll be honest, I probably didn't have the best work ethic up until maybe under 16s. I'll just go through the motions, get shots up, which is great. But, my under 16s representative coach and state coach, John O'Hargraves, basically didn't chew me out, but basically said, like, you don't work hard enough. And if you want to get somewhere in the sport, like, you got to change the way you do extra shooting and stuff like that. I'd always train hard. That was kind of, I guess, my Achilles heel at the time. And, that kind of transformed me into someone that just wanted to work hard the whole time. And now it's something that just has stayed with me ever since.
Well, you don't always realize as a kid, that you're not working as hard as what you could be until someone actually gives you the nudge or wakes you up to the fact that, hey, you could be going a bit harder than this. And then the world begins to change for you. And obviously it's going very well. The question I want to throw to you, because we're going to talk about the grand final series or the championship series shortly. Were you ever a great defensive player? Because I would have thought the glove is like the perfect nickname.
What do you mean? Was he ever? He is, mate. What are you talking about?
I definitely know Deli, Che, or Foxy, or any of those guys. But it's funny you bring that up. So when I made my under-19s team as a double bottom major, I had to bring something different as a double bottom major. And I knew I wasn't always going to play. I knew that. But what got me picked was my defensive pressure back then, which I learned actually from that John O'Mahon 16's coach, because that was all he drilled into us. So yeah, I got picked in the team, and obviously having the last name Glover, I got my nicknames then gone into Glove, which still happens today. So we play in some practice matches in Croatia or wherever it is, and someone yelled out, "Yeah, Gary," because all I was doing was just being a pest.
Gary Payton, I'm with you. You love it, yes. So
my nickname then evolved to Gary. So then that was kind of what everyone known me as for like a good year or so. And then the second championship year, I played with, sorry, first championship year. First championship year with Matu Maker. And he brought back Gary. So it came with me to Sydney for a little bit there, but everyone just calls me Glove now, or Gus, but I did have a period of time there where I was known as the Glove or Gary.
Great story. Yeah. Look, we're not going to go into too much of the championship series because I know you're going to give, I don't give two shits, is pretty much what you're going to say, right? So I know that's what it's going to, but I am going to ask you, obviously, you know, there's a situation where the Sydney Kings have just come out and gone bang and smashed Adelaide. There's been some talk today as we're recording this that, you know, Mike Wells is having a blow up here with some players. We're not sure how true it all is, but my question to you is, can anyone beat Sydney? And, you know, like, will Bryce Cotton be able to carry this team to three wins? And I don't know how they can. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, no, I've been asked this plenty of times since game one, but I think any team that has Bryce in it, you have to respect, and I think Bryce will win you one game, absolutely.
Yeah. It's coming up Friday.
So it has to be Friday, otherwise the series is definitely gone, but I can't see a world where Sydney are going to lose three games in a five-game series. So
three out of four really right now is what you're saying. Right, yeah.
They're just so dominant in game one, and they have a very, it's funny, I call our defense unique, but they have a very unique way of guarding Bryce, which other teams obviously try and replicate, but I think with their length, their athleticism and Delly's physicality, I think people underestimate Delly's physicality.
Oh, absolutely.
He can be on a different level because he has the length and the shot blockers behind him. So he has that trust that if he gets beat, it's just, you know, so you combine all that, it takes a lot out of Bryce each and every game. Like I said, though, I think Bryce will bounce back Friday. It's, but they need to get 1-1 to have a chance. If it goes 2-0, I can't see Adelaide winning one at all.
For sure. But, I mean, he's gone for one free throw in game one. Now, I'll tell you here now, on the record, he'll have 16 on Friday, minimum, of which you'll make 14 or 15. So you've already got considerably better performance than you had in game one.
And that's said like a true Adelaide person, body nod, Jay.
I couldn't give a shit whether they win or lose. I'm sorry. The truth is I've been a fan of the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, the style they play. I'm a fan of Tasmania, the style they play. And I was a fan of Illawarra last year, the style they played. So, I mean, I just enjoy watching good basketball, which leads me to this question. In that frustrating game three loss, I saw on Ian Clark and on Wes Iwundu a level of frustration at the calls that Bryce was getting and some of the overacting he was doing to get those calls. It was almost like they were at that point where you have to respect him as the best player in the game today in this country, but you have to also wonder, why do you have to, you know, do all that extra shit? And that must frustrate those guys. They sure as hell looked frustrated with it.
Yeah, for sure. The best thing is it's the podcast, so I can almost say what I want with it. So no, I can't get
fined. Hey, no one listens, mate. But, it's my mum and Boddy's wife. That's it, mate. So don't worry.
She's not listening this week, though.
I think, like if you go back a game, I guess, like, I tried to almost get up in Flynn's shit almost, I guess, if I'm allowed to use that word.
You can.
And people have slammed me in my DMs and everything about flopping. I think the right call from the challenge was the right result in the end. If anything, I probably could have got the foul for pulling him down, but I didn't flop. But I think if you look at that compared to, like, I think at the same time, the way Bryce gets guarded, he sometimes exaggerates it because he has to almost, I think. I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing, but do I hate it when I'm playing against him? Absolutely. I do not want him to do it, but you also know as a player, if you're on him or near him, there's sometimes like he won't exaggerate and he will get a call and you still don't touch him.
Yeah.
So it's that, how do I word it? It's he obviously has the ball in his hands a lot, but he has that gravitational pull, I guess, from all players, but I think the refs fall for it a little bit. But granted, he is the MVP, so yeah. he should be respected more, I guess, which as a fan, as much as I'm a player, I'm a fan of the league as well. You want the best players out on the floor as well.
Amen. Yep, no question. No question. Now, listen, we're not going to keep you too much longer because you've been fantastic with your time. But at this time of the pod, what we do, we're going to ask you, I'm going to give you a name. And I just want like a one word, an antidote, anything that you can think of when I give you this name. I just want the first thing that comes to mind. Now, I'll start it off. All right. So the first one, Xavier Cooks.
Legend.
Nice.
Okay. Dejan Vasiljevic.
Brate.
Nice. Next one, Jordan Hunter.
For ways people wouldn't think, I admire Geordie. I can elaborate on that if you want, to be honest.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, let's get a little bit. I'd like that, yeah.
We as athletes, and myself personally, we tend to get down in the dumps if we play bad or have a bad game or lose. I think what I've admired with Geordie, especially even though he's done it for years, I think the older I've gotten, the more I've realized. So that's why I admire Geordie, is he does such a good job of life moves on, leave your shit at the door, and everything's okay, you know? Like, love you look that. At what's going on in the world right now, everything is okay
for us. That's true.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
That's the reason why I really admire Geordie, because I'm trying to be more like him with the mental side of switching off.
Brilliant.
Before I throw the next name at you, I just want to quickly ask you, have you ever seen Jordan Hunter and Hunter Goodrick in the same room at the same time?
No, but I wish. I wish. We will do scout in Sydney and we literally will have Geordie's face on Hunter's name. Have a bit of fun with it.
Okay, my name for you is Mahmoud Abdul Fattah.
God bless.
Brad, you got one?
Yeah, I was waiting on that. I wanted to go a bit further. Jarrell Martin.
Oh. Barbecue.
Now, I've watched some rugby league times when a barbecue means completely I've watched shows about this, and it might not mean what you're talking about. I need you to elaborate. What's the barbecue?
He just loves yelling. So there's two things that come to mind. So obviously that one's the first one, barbecue, which comes from whenever we shoot or whatever it is, you go start the barbecue. So he just always would yell it. So that kind of just stuck in my head. Right.
Nice.
But I guess the other thing, and if you ask a lot of people about one word, people will probably say BFG, big friend, even though it's three words, but big friendly giant.
Nice. Nice. Mm. You got one more, buddy? Come on.
I got one more, and then I got a question too. Nathan Sobey.
Oh, nice.
A lot of things come to mind with those. Sure. Some I definitely can't say. I think there's a lot of good things I can say, one word things. I'm trying to think of the best thing that would probably represent him. Leader.
Hang on, before you go the question, hang on, I got one more name I want to throw at him because I got and then it's done. Casper Wee.
Smiling assassin.
Nice. Yeah, okay. All right, good one. All right, go, buddy.
The question I want to ask you about Nathan Sobey is what is going to happen to Kendrick Davis here on Friday. The crowd got right on Sobes in game 3, and there's no way that that it didn't affect him. It affected him. You could see it in even though he was trying to block it out and get on and focus on what was on between the lines, you know, the crowd just being on you nonstop. And Kendrick will cop the same, which is why I think Adelaide will probably win game two, because of Bryce getting free throws and Kendrick copping it, and possibly Jalen Galloway not being 100%, all of those things. But Nathan Sobey, did you feel, was there any way the guys could help him during that game? Did you try, or was it like left to his own devices sort of thing?
No, I think, like, I'm pretty close with him in the team, obviously. And I think, yeah, like, he was aware of the situation that was going to happen. And, yeah, like, I remember being out there with him, and I can't say the same for everybody, but I know I just tried to say, like, I'm with you, we're with you type thing. We tried not to mention it pre-game or anything like that, because you don't want that to be your focus, right? We're there to win a game and not the war slash fight, even though it kind of is a war. But, I think, like, it happens as well to the best of us. Like, I remember the first time I came home to Wollongong, I got booed as well and didn't play too good. Like, we're human. Like,
Of course.
Absolutely.
So, and this is the thing, I don't think, like, Seeing what some people have said about game three with him, I think it's a bit like, you got to understand the season he had and understand like what he did for this group and the thing that is so misinterpreted with him, hence why I use the word leader with him, because you can use leader in so many different ways. He is a leader of the group, and I think he's grown massively into that role since being at the Phoenix, seeing him become more and more confident in that role. But I use that because it's on the court, it's off the court. He's a family man. Seeing him, how he interacts with his family, his two kids, getting to know his family, his parents, his brothers, CC, like everyone. So yeah, like I also admire Sobes a lot, because like, one day I want to have a family and see what he's like with his kids. Like, that's pretty special to see and stuff like that.
You know, I think that's beautiful, because like, I feel Sobes gets a bad rap, nationally. Now I can put my hand up and say, I've said times where I think, geez, man, he takes some rash shots, like, wow. But watching him, what I love is that he hasn't stepped back from who he is. And this year, even more so. Like, yeah, I'm going to take shots because I know I can make them. And I got to give that guy respect. There is no question, and this is no disrespect when I say, he was the third best player in this league by far. Like, obviously Bryce and Kendrick were what we all know about. But he was unbelievable. And I don't want to say carried you guys, because that's completely unfair to
no,
others in that team, right? There's no way I'm going to say that. And I'm not going to say that they don't make it without Sobey, because it's probably true, but they don't make it without you. They don't make it out Jordan. They don't make it, you know, the whole thing. But I will say
team.
That it's absolutely.
Team.
I love watching him play this year. I thought it was the best I've ever seen him play. But more importantly, I love watching him in that environment, because – credit to his teammates and you included, you could see you had his back. And I don't know if that's always been like that for him. So I thought it was brilliant. So it's a huge congratulations. Glav, we could speak all day, mate. We're going to have you on here again, but I know you've got to get onto some stuff. Mate, thank you so much. I really appreciate Boddy, and I can't thank you enough for coming on. You are an absolute legend. Congratulations on the 2-year deal. Phoenix have got a beauty. The Kings left my fucking go, but we'll talk about that another day. But mate, thank you. Lots of love, and enjoy the off season, because I know you're not playing NBL 1. Go and rest that body.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Take a break.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on. And, hopefully do this again soon with you guys.
Oh, wasn't that fun, buddy? We hadn't had Where Are You Now for a while. And I know just to our listeners, it's something – Boddy has actually brought this up quite a lot. And the problem – I shouldn't say it's a problem, but because we love to talk Opals, Boomers, WNBL, and NBL, we feel like – We've always been, we don't want more than 30, 35 minutes, although this one's getting a little bit on because it was a fantastic chat with Angus. Yeah. We haven't had the chance, but, you know, it's nice to do what's happened here now. So that was really fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and he's done so well after, you know, setbacks, and I'm very happy for him. I became a big fan of his during that second Sydney Championship when Vasiljevic wasn't going all that well, and Angus stepped up and got him across the line. Now, speaking of getting across the line, I think the 36ers can win game two because there will be a shift in the officiating for sure. There will be a shift in the way the crowd reacts to Kendrick Davis. There'll be different elements at play in game two. If they don't get game two, then they are, Chris Anstey's going to be right. They're going to get swept. But if they get game two, they'll go to four.
I don't know. Everything in me says you're right, buddy, but I just know Gorge. I know this team. I just don't know if you're right. I don't know if that's going to happen. I shouldn't say you're right because it just.
I mean, those are the elements, Brad. I'm saying those are the elements that will change.
I just know this is what's going to happen, right? You're going to be right. You know, that first 6 minutes, guys, you're going to be hit by a steam train. Not a bat, not a cricket bat, not a bus. You're going to be hit by a steam train at 100,000 kilometers an hour. Our thing is just stay with it. Right. You know, they haven't got it in them for 40 minutes. They will turn on each other. They will get angry. They'll probably do something, you know, physical. And and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Right. They'll do something that you have to be prepared with. We just have to stay with our grind, stay with what's us. And I just think Gorge can look down the bench and go a different way. All right, it's Quat tonight. Oh, no, it's not. It's Jalen Galloway. No, it's not. It's Torrey Craig. No, let's go Dilly. I just don't know.
I think quite annoying could be the Malawatch. And the Malawatch will be good. You know, I'm just saying with a little bit of a question mark over Jalen Galloway, I think Quat is the one that will –
He's been quiet in Quat's world.
Yeah, he's
due.
Yes.
But then again, so is Jenkins.
And Flynn Cameron.
Yeah, Flynn Cameron too,
so there are elements to it. I mean, I don't know why Mike Wells gambled and put people like Isaac White and Matt Kenyon on Kendrick Davis. I mean, this is arguably the best player in the league or second best player in the league.
I'm really looking forward to this pod. I've been looking forward to this pod because I wanted to say something. I've watched that game, right, a number of times, and the biggest issue that I've got with everything, I don't care about they didn't score and they didn't do this or whatever, the ball pressure. Mm. That's the whole thing. You watch that ball pressure. I do not remember seeing one Sydney Kings guy dribbling the ball with his head down. Now, what I mean by that is, but everyone knows what I mean, right? Like the ball pressure, I'm watching like Kendrick Davis just bring the ball down, head up, looking around, let's go this way. Like, and you watch the Kings, they're up, they're in, and Bryce is like, you know, throwing his head back because, not because it's bad, not because he's, you know, over-exaggerating, because he couldn't breathe. Mm. He could not breathe. And I don't care what said, Dele, great job smacking him in that first round. He didn't mean it. I'm not saying that, but the intent was there. I'm not giving you anything. Mate, if I'm starting Rakosevic this game. I'm starting him, and I am saying put someone on his ass.
Yeah.
Right? Put do someone on his different. Ass. Right? Here's not illegal, thing. Not do something, but put someone on his ass and make this a damn game because you know what? There is no tomorrow.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing that you may not have noticed. But how many timeouts do you get in the second half, Brad?
Three. Unless you take three in the first, but you don't. No, but yeah, no. Yep.
So guess how many Adelaide had left?
Oh, no. Two. I thought he used one.
You're slipping from 20 behind to 30 behind to 40 behind, and you've taken one timeout in the second half. Like, what are you trying to stop the rot? Are you planning for game two? Are you like, I was gobsmacked that they were left with two timeouts. Maybe they think they carry over to the next game or something. I don't know, but they don't, and they needed them, and they needed to use them. They needed
good call.
To find some way to pull Sydney up because Sydney is rolling. As I say, I expect a different scenario on Friday night, but ultimately, whether that's enough for Adelaide or whether you're right that quite annoying steps up or Malawatch has an extremely good game or Galloway's okay to go, then Sydney still wins.
It's very easy for us to sit back like all commentators and people that have an opinion. But to me, if they lose on Friday night, then last week's game was inexcusable that you weren't ready because you weren't ready. Yeah. Right, yeah. you'd played three or four games prior to that. I think it was three where you'd lost, or was it four? Sorry, I can't remember. But whatever it was, that's right. So you'd lost three times. I, in my opinion, don't think they did anything different on Bryce than they did in the other games. Mm-hmm. Right, so they didn't do anything different on those.
No,
so you weren't prepared. Okay, that's cool. You went in with a different play. It didn't work. Should have been prepared. But if you weren't prepared, if you don't win on Friday night, then that that is inexcusable. If you win on Friday night, then I'm going to agree with Mike Wells in his post-game press conference when he said, okay, we've lost. Doesn't matter whether you win by one or 50. Don't know if I 100% agree with that. But doesn't matter whether you win or lose. We lost on the road in game one. We're going home. If you take care of your home, we're 1-1 coming back. I'm fine with that. That's my honest opinion.
Yeah, well, I saw that happen one year in the NBA where the Celtics massacred the Lakers in game one. And the Lakers won that series. So so there is some credence to what he says, but the manner of the defeat is what would disturb you if you're a 36
That's which I'm not, concerns me more. No, that's just – I think that's what the whole thing that concerns me is just that the way you lost that game.
You know what concerns me? You know what concerns me, Brett? We've gone on and on. We're going to need to shut up and let our listeners go.
I just want to finish on this. Melbourne United beat Illawarra in game one last year. Illawarra were at home, and they ended up winning the series. So it can happen.
Yeah, it can happen.
So it can happen, right? So anyway, I'm moving on. That was fantastic, Boddy. Thank you. Sorry I went on there a little bit with my purple bunny. Thanks for yawning through that. Look, huge shout out to Angus Glover, great guy. Really enjoyed that chat, Boddy. Thank you. Championships gear is game two Friday night in Bottomland, Adelaide. Go those 36ers. See what they've got, Boddy. Have a great week, my man. Hey, you know how you were talking about Glove and you know like Gary Payton and everything. I was with the Glove when I was growing up, mate. I was thinking you were going to say something about me.
No, actually, I thought you were known as the Oven Mitt.